This morning, we're going to continue and wrap up our series that we've been going through over the last 3 weeks entitled All In. And we've been talking about in this series about our identity as a church, who we are as Westgate Chapel, according to what God's word says we are supposed to be as his church, really talking about the vision and the heart that we believe God has called us to as Westgate Chapel. And one of the things that we've been pressing really hard into is the fact that when God calls us, he calls us not to come in just with half a heart, but he calls on us to come in and be all in. You know, a lot of the analogies we've used have been sports analogies because you hear about that in sports. You hear about the mantra of being all in, giving everything you have for a common cause or a purpose or a goal that you're trying to achieve. Being all in means giving 100%, leaving nothing in reserve, going for this goal with everything until the well runs dry. And when we think about it in the sports analogies, you know, I can remember back a number of years ago now, the Lakers have been horrible for years as a basketball team. But back when they were really good, they were in the playoffs, and I can remember that they lost a game they should not have lost, and they lost pretty bad. And in the interviews afterwards, one of the things that was a common theme that you heard from people like Kobe Bryant and other players was, the other team wanted it more than we did. We came out, we played flat, we didn't give our best effort, and we deserved what we got. That's the idea of being all in. And they said, we have got to go and be all in, give everything, leave nothing in reserve. I was talking with our sound booth guys this morning about Clemson football. Our good friend Dave up there, who loves me now for mentioning Clemson. Clemson, their coach, would give his players before every game a poker chip that says on it to be all in. And they would take that before every single game and drop it into a bucket, signifying that they were going to give 110% to achieve the goals that they had set out for. And we believe that this is what God is calling us to as a church, as we understand our identity that we have in Christ and as a community of believers that is gathering together. God wants us to be all in. And so I would love for you to take a look at your sermon notes with me as we begin this morning, because 2 weeks ago we began talking about Roman numeral number one, what defines who we are as a church. And 2 weeks ago, letter A, we talked about the fact that we are a Bible-centered church focused on growing deeper in our intimacy with God. We are a Bible-centered church that is focused on growing deeper in our intimacy with God. We believe that the very foundation of who he has called us to be is a church that is centered on God's word. Now, there are a lot of things that churches will center on or focus on. Sometimes they will center and focus on outreach and reaching the lost. Other times churches will focus on discipleship. Some churches will put a real heavy emphasis on the type of music that they do on the stage or the type of preaching that comes from the pulpit. There are a million things and focuses that churches in today's day and age focus on, but we believe that ultimately, from God's word, we are called to be a Bible-centered church that is focused, because of that, on growing deeper in our intimacy with God. And as we defined this idea of intimacy with God, we talked about it in terms of being devoted to God. In other words, with our whole heart, seeking God, seeking that he would transform who we are to make us into the people that he has designed for us to be. And that as we get into God's word, it is God's word, through his word, that he transforms our hearts and our lives as we seek to devote more of ourselves and our lives to him. Last week, we talked about, kind of dovetailing off of that, that one of the common things when you hear a message and somebody talking about growing in your devotion to God, the immediate thing that trips in our mind is this idea of, now I need to go and try harder. I need to go be a little bit better on my spiritual disciplines. I need to change these actions in my life. And we get into a mentality that says, I'm just going to try harder. But if that is our way of growing deeper in Christ, we are going to fail every single time. And the reason is because God did not design the Christian life to be one in which we grow in our own strength and our own power. We talked about last week the fact that God's power comes through his Holy Spirit. If you weren't able to be here last week because of the snowpocalypse that occurred and kept a lot of us from church, you can go to westgatechapel.org/YouTube. You can watch the message. The reason that I tell you that is because I believe that is one of the most essential things we can talk about as the church, is that if we are going to be the people that God wants us to be, then we must do it in the strength and the power of the Holy Spirit. He is the one that transforms our hearts and changes our lives. And when we do that as a church, we will begin to see God's power flowing through us in a way that maybe we have not seen before. And I want you to see how each of these things builds on one another as we come to what we'll be talking about this morning. We have said that our mission as a church is to lead people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ, where they are growing in their intimacy with God, in their devotion, and also where they are growing in their community. To grow in our intimacy and our devotion with God, it requires that we lean upon and trust in the power of the Holy Spirit. And as we do and we grow and He grows us, it is then through that, because of our love for God, that He develops us into an awesome biblical community. And I would love for you to see letter B, that what defines who we are, Westgate Chapel, as a church, is that we believe being in biblical community with others is essential for every follower of Jesus Christ. We've talked about over the last many weeks that we want to be a church of life groups rather than a church with life groups. And I want you to hear that clearly. Pastor Michael, say something about it again here in just a little bit. But we want to be a church of life groups, not just a church with. We want small group environments to be a very key thing that takes place within this body of believers. And why is that? Why is it that we want to be involved in small group ministry? Why is it that it's essential for us to be in that type of environment? Well, the truth is when I look at it, it's because one of the biggest struggles that we will have as a big church is taking big church and becoming small and creating the biblical community that God designed for us to interact in. And the truth is, God did create for us as individuals to be involved in community. It has been His desire from the very beginning of time. In the Garden of Eden, you see so much that God did not desire for man to do this life alone, but to be in community and in relationship with others. As well, we see that God purposes relational community in order to deepen our own relationship with Him. He has purposed the church for the purpose of us being challenged and encouraged and held accountable to grow deeper in our faith. It is a beautiful thing that God has given to us. And this is why it is the heartbeat of this church. Our desire is that everybody that walks through these doors would be known, that they would be cared for, and that they would be challenged in the relationships in which they are engaging in. Because of this, we have set very lofty goals. At the end of 2018, We've seen, and you'll see this a little bit later in the annual report, which you'll be receiving as you walk out the doors today, that at the end of 2018, we had 24 life groups functioning in this church with about 245 people involved in those groups. And our goal for 2019 is to see 40 life groups functioning within this church and over 400 people engaging in community. Why? Because we believe it is essential. And we believe that it's essential because I believe, and I think you will find that this is true as you look at our Christian culture, is that in the modern church today, we have often missed the purpose of being in community with one another. We don't truly understand why it is that God has created this environment for us, and because of it, we miss out on all that God has prepared for us. Often in the church today, we are willing to settle for the minimum of what God has designed for us as we come together as a body, rather than to experience the bounty that He has provided. Let me give you an example. If you were to invite Rochelle and I over to your house, and you wanted to, you know, really just bless us and to throw this really wonderful time together. So you took time probably cleaning your house and going through and making sure that it was immaculate and wonderful, maybe even getting the kids involved and making sure every little nook and cranny of your house was clean. And then in order to impress us more, you thought, you know what, I would love to set our table, make this beautiful table for Pastor Rob and Rochelle as they come. And so we're going to set out this really beautiful tablecloth on the table, get out the fine china and silverware and nice goblets. We're going to have a wonderful time, maybe even get fresh flowers and a nice bouquet to go as a centerpiece, maybe some candles. And then I heard that Pastor Rob loves a good steak. And so you go to the store and you get a nice big round New York steak. And then you hear that he doesn't like barbecue sauce or that kind of stuff, but he loves a dry rub. So you study real hard to find the best dry rub you can. And you spend hours massaging that baby, getting it ready for him. You guys are like, we'll never do this for you. But pretend with me. So you're preparing the steak, and then you're going, you cook it, and you think, oh, but what about the trimmings that are going to go? So maybe we got some loaded baked potatoes, maybe a nice fruit salad to go with it. You've heard that Pastor Rob believes the tree of life was a big broccoli, and so you provide broccoli, because I love broccoli. You provide that as well. You heard that I hate cake, but I really love Dutch apple pie, so you make a homemade, fresh, can you tell I'm giving you a menu for when you invite us over? You provide us with all of this wonderful stuff, and then you think to yourself, but I'm going to invite some friends over so that they can have, we can have a really great time together and talk. But upon arriving, Rochelle and I show up 30 minutes late. When we walk in, we seem very distracted and almost maybe like we don't want to be there. Rather than having steak, I look at you and go, you know, why don't we just throw some chicken nuggets in the microwave? And rather than sitting at the table, you know, the Super Bowl's on. Why don't we just go sit in front of the TV and watch that for a little bit while? Let us be entertained while we're sitting here eating our nuggets, maybe a few French fries. And then, about halfway through that time, because we don't want to see Tom Brady win again, we decide that we got better things to do, so we just get up and leave without much interaction. You'd be horribly offended, wouldn't you? Taking all that time to prepare a bountiful feast and a time of fellowship for us, and we just blew it off. The church has been stripped down to the very minimum often in our culture when it comes to how it functions, especially in this area of community, in the way that God designed for it to be. The most basic definition that we see in the scriptures of what it means to be the church is a group of believers gathered together, worshiping, where teaching of the word of God takes place under the guidance of appointed leaders. And too often, that is about the depth of what people experience in church. Why is that? Well, because often the modern church has missed out on the bounty that God has provided for them. Letter A, church has often become a place that we go, a building, not a people, but a building. Think about it in the terms of how we talk about church with our friends or our families. We're going to go to church. We're often thinking about the building. We're going to go to this program. We're going to do this thing. And oftentimes when we do that, what we do is we exchange what biblical community is in Scripture and settle for things like acquaintances with others, casual relationships, and sometimes really no community at all. It just becomes the place we go because it's the tradition or thing that we should do. Well, also, letter B, you'll find that in our culture today, church has often become optional as well. Do you know that studies show that for most people in the church today, you consider yourself a regular attender if you attend even just one, maybe two times a month? Think about it. Think about how busy our lives are. I know that you all feel this and struggle with this, as do I, though I get to be here every Sunday. I'll tell you something. I feel the pressure of busyness, of work, of school, kids' school, the number of events going on, sports practices, taking girls to dance lessons, having family functions, hanging out with friends, and all of the other things that we pile into our lives that make them so busy. Sometimes we just need downtime and we don't want to be around people because it feels like we do that all the time. And in the process in our culture today, what church has become is just another thing that we do on a long list of what we do. And we don't take advantage of the beautiful feast that God has prepared for us in Christian community. It becomes just that place we go, where we rub shoulders with a few people we like and that may like us, and we move on. And we miss the depth of what God has. Letter C, church has also become about what we get from it. And we've talked about this a lot, so I won't belabor this point. But there are so many people in the church today that have a consumer mindset about church. And it's that consumer mindset that feeds the mindset that church is just a place that we go to get something for ourselves. We will go to our churches based upon, is the music the style that I like? Does the preacher preach right? Does it have the best kids ministry? Does it have things for me? You know, we will often treat it as though we're going through the grocery store, just picking out the different things that we want or like, a very consumer mindset. Let me tell you what that does, though. Letter D, it creates this idea in our culture that church has become more about the building than the family or the community that it was designed to be. Going to church in our culture today often means going to a building on Sunday mornings, attending a one-hour service, unless the pastor goes long, and calling ourselves members of that church. But let me ask you a real simple question. Do you see anything in the New Testament where what we experience in our culture would be the picture of what we see of the church in New Testament times? Is there anything even remotely in the New Testament that resembles what the church has become in our culture? I told you a couple weeks ago that I've been reading this book by Francis Chan entitled Letters to the Church. And if you haven't read it, I want you to read it. It is a powerful book to talk about what has happened in our culture with the church. But he asks this question in the book. He says, could you ever imagine if Peter and Paul were having a conversation like so many people do today about their churches? Hey, Peter, where do you go to church? Well, Paul, I go to the river. It's over there by the Jordan, just on the other side of Jericho. Let me tell you something. The music is phenomenal, and they have gotten incredible kids programming. Well, Peter, would you mind if I joined you at your church? You know, I'm really just not getting much out of my church. It's just not really meeting my needs. Oh, yeah. Well, I would love to have you join us. But you know, Paul, come to think of it, I can't be there next Sunday because little Matthew, he's got a soccer game. And the week after that, Elizabeth, she has a dance recital. Got to sit through that. And then the week after that, would love to have you come with us, but we're going to be going out to the lake house in Galilee because everybody needs a little bit of relaxation. But in 4 weeks, we would love to have you join us at our church. It is awesome. Could you ever imagine a conversation like that taking place between Peter and Paul in the New Testament, speaking about the church in terms of what you get out of it, in terms of not being engaged and involved on a regular basis? We have exchanged in our modern culture the grand feast that God has prepared for us in biblical community for a cheap imitation that lacks the power he designed for it to have. And the reason often is because we refuse to engage in the type of community that we see in Scripture. When the church is defined in the New Testament, you will find that it never refers to the church as a building or a place that people go. It is never a building or a place. It always refers to people. I want you to think about it. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22, we see that the total number of, it speaks of the church in terms of the total number of believers who have ever lived. Ephesians 1:22 says, God put all things under his feet and made him head over all things for the church, which is his body. So speaking of the body of believers as a whole. We also see that in the scripture, the group of believers gathering together are referred to as the church in the sense of the gathering of believers in a particular city. Acts 11:22 speaks of the church in Jerusalem, or 1 Corinthians 1:2, the church in Corinth. It never speaks of it in terms of the building. It speaks of it in terms of where the people are gathering. It has an emphasis on the people. We also will see that it is referred to as a group of believers that may be gathered together in a particular home. Colossians 4:15, Paul sends greetings to Nympha and to her church, the church that meets in her house. Throughout Scripture, we will always see that the church refers to people. And I want you to think of this in terms of what we've looked at over the last many weeks in Acts chapter 2 and the power that was in that community as they grew together and they cared for one another and purposed themselves on the things that mattered most to God. When the church becomes just about a building, or when it's just about another option in our lives or about what we can get from it, then we rob the community of the supernatural influence that God intended for it to have in our lives and also in the lives of other people. So we should ask this question then. What did God intend for biblical community to be, and why is it so essential for every single believer to be engaged? Well, let's begin here. Letter A, the church was meant to be a place where we grow spiritually as we worship God together. We talked about this as we talked about having devotion with God in the first message of this series. And as we look at Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47, we see this in a very beautiful picture. If you have your Bibles, Turn there with me and let's look at it again together. Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. It says that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. Verse 44, and all who believed were together and had all things in common. They were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need, and day by day attending the temple together, breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. What a beautiful picture of how the church was meant to be a group of people who had come together to grow spiritually as they worshiped God together. That passage tells us that as the church, 3,000 people, lots of people who came to faith in Jesus Christ, that they would gather together in smaller communities, going to the temple together, meeting in each other's homes, listening to the teaching of the apostles, getting fed, sitting there and learning and growing together in their relationship with Jesus Christ. It is a beautiful picture of how the church was intended to function as they worship God, not alone, not as individuals who walked into a building, but together, doing life together and growing together. One of the things that I love about the idea of being in small group community here at Westgate Chapel is that I believe it will provide us the best opportunity to recreate this type of biblical community within our church. I spoke this past week, and they weren't able to be here today, but I spoke with a couple here named Zach and Jessica Salyers, and I had the privilege a few years ago of marrying them. They came to me. I didn't know them. They had not been in our church super long, but as they were getting connected here, they weren't very connected in relationships with others. They were just kind of coming in. They'd come to church and leave, and we began really encouraging them to get involved and to find community and to find a place. And as I spoke with Zach on the phone this past week, here's a couple of things that he shared with me. He said, you know something, Rob, when we first came, we just kind of were going through the motions and people kept encouraging us to get involved. He said, and I asked him this question. I'm like, tell me, as you got involved in a life group, what impact did it make in your life? And these were his exact words to me. Rob, I don't have the time to sit here and tell you the number of ways that it has changed my life. He said, you know something, Rob, when I came into this group, I have grown more in my own personal relationship with Jesus Christ in the past year than I have in most of my life. I've grown deeper as I've watched other people in their walk with the Lord, as they have challenged and encouraged me. He talks specifically about he and his wife and how they watched some of these other couples who would pray together regularly, pray for other people, pray for their marriage, pray for their family. And he said, we began to take that and bring that into our own relationship together, where we are doing that together. And he continued to sit and to speak about how God was transforming his life as he was engaging in deeper community with other people. It's because that is how God has designed his church to function. He has designed for us to be in that place where we will grow spiritually together, encourage each other, challenge each other, hold each other accountable. But letter B, the church was not only meant to be a place where we would grow spiritually as we worship God together, but it would also be a place where we care for one another because of Christ's love for us. And I want you to flip in your Bibles just one page over to Acts chapter 4, and I want you to take a look again at how it describes the early church and how they loved and cared for each other because they were in this community together. Acts 4, verse 32 through 37 says this. Now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. And with great power, the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as were owners of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold, laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. Thus Joseph was also called by the apostles Barnabas, a Levite, a native of Cyprus, sold a field that belonged to him and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. I want you to think about the beautiful picture of care that was taking place in this community as they would gather together and worship together and do life together. It says that they would take their very possessions, their household, their land, whatever it was that they had, and that they would literally sell it for the benefit of the community that they were in. Now, how crazy is that? How many people this morning want to offer to sell your house so that you can help meet the needs of the people that are here in this room? Think about the community and the depth of community that was taking place with these people. It was incredible. It was incredible because the very Spirit of God was moving through this community because of the submission of their lives to Him as they sought the Lord together. But what I want you to see is that being in this community wasn't just about how they took care of each other or sold their possessions. Read deeper into the passage. Don't read quickly over verse 32, because verse 32 gives you a really clear picture of what's taking place. Now the full number of those who believed were what? Of one heart and one soul. They were unified together in Christ and in the power of the Holy Spirit. And because of that unity and love that they had for one another because of Jesus Christ, incredible things were taking place within that body because the Spirit was moving as they yielded their hearts and their lives to Him. This is the type of community that God has designed for us as His church to live in. And yet so often we sell it short. We walk into this building thinking about what we will get so that we can get out and leave and go about our busy lives. We often think of the church in terms of the building that we are coming to, as opposed to the many believers that are here that He has called us to be in community with, to love, and to care for. And we have such incredible opportunities as a church body to care for one another because of Christ's love for us. You know, for me, being in a small group was one of the ways that I experienced that type of care, and I know that many people in this church have. I have a small group of people that I trust incredibly, that I'm able to share some of the more difficult things that are going on in life, to know that they will stop on a dime to pray for me, but not just offer up a token prayer. They will come back weeks later and say things to me like, "Hey, how are you doing? How's that thing going on? How can I continue to keep praying for you?" Why? Because they care deeply. We are in that type of community. And it's not because we're just really good people, but it's because of the love of Jesus that flows through our hearts as we want to experience all that He has for us. Another way that we have an opportunity to care for people in our community is through looking for opportunities to serve each other. And in this past year, we have seen incredible things take place through our Westgate Cares ministry at the church. You'll see again later as you get the annual report on your way out the door that there are a lot of incredible things that are taking place in this ministry. As people come together, you'll see testimonies in this document that will share of how people are experiencing the love of Jesus Christ in this community because people are giving of their time and their heart and their talent and their treasure in order to serve them. As well, I received a testimony this past week from a couple that have been attending our church for just a very short time in this past year. And one of the statements that they made about why it is that they love Westgate Chapels, because they said, "The members seem to love all people, not just the ones that look and act like them." And let me tell you something, when I hear that, it makes my heart leap to know that people could walk into this community and go, "Man, these people love Jesus, and they show it by the way that they treat other people, even people that they do not know." And the question that I consistently ask myself is this the type of community that we are becoming here at Westgate Chapel, biblical community, where we are growing spiritually as we worship God together, where we are caring for one another because of Christ's love for us, ultimately, letter C, for the ultimate purpose of what God intended biblical community for, is that we would become a reflection of Christ's love to the world. If you take a look at John chapter 13 with me in verses 34 through 35, you will see that it says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you." Think about how high that bar is that Jesus just set. He wants us to love one another as Christ has loved us. That's something we can't do in our own strength and in our own power. That does not come natural to us. But as we yield ourselves to God and to the power of the Holy Spirit, he enables us to love others the way that Christ loves us. And then it says, by this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. The way that you love each other will be a picture to the world of who I am. When you look in the book of Matthew at the high priestly prayers, Jesus, before he goes to his death, on his knees, crying out and praying to the Lord, praying over his disciples that they would be one as God and Jesus are one. He calls out and he prays for all believers of all time that we would be one, and that because we are one and the way that we love each other, that the world would know who God is. You see, God purposed the community of believers, known as the church, to not just be a building that you go to, but to be a gathering of people who are growing spiritually together, who are serving and loving one another for the purpose of being a reflection to the world of Christ's love and of who God is. And it really brings us to this point of emphasis to ask ourselves the question, have we exchanged the bounty, the feast that God has provided before us in Christian community with one another, for a cheap imitation that will lack power and keep us from truly experiencing all that he has for us as a community? Have we allowed ourselves to take our next step in getting engaged and getting involved in his church and in relationship with other people to experience the fullness of what he has designed? I want us to answer Roman numeral number 4 in your notes. What steps can I take toward engaging in authentic biblical community at Westgate Chapel? And as we share these points with you, I want you to really think and ask the question and prayerfully ask, God, what is my next step? Letter A, take a step towards joining a life group. And Pastor Mike is going to come and share for just a moment.
Thanks, Pastor Rob. If we haven't met before, I'm the adult ministries pastor, and one of the things that I get to spend a lot of time working with is life groups, and so you're going to hear me talk about life groups a lot. It's something I believe in, and as you've already heard, it's something that Pastor Rob very much believes in. And so one of the things that we really want you to take home today is on your handout is our first point, is that we want to be a church of life groups, not just a church with life groups. Write that down if you would. And the distinction here again is saying life groups here at Westgate Chapel are transitioning from being a place to get plugged in to being the place to get plugged in at Westgate Chapel in terms of just that one thing that we're really directing people towards. In fact, you may have heard we introduced something called the Big Three, and Big Three things we want people to get involved with at Westgate Chapel, and it's attend the worship service, get involved with the life group, and serve. And so this is a really big deal for us here at our church. And so it's interesting. I was talking to somebody this past week, and they said, hey, Mike, I've been coming here for years, and I've heard people talk about life groups, but could you just like explain to me a little bit clearer, like what is a life group? Like what can I expect? How many groups do we have, etc.? And so I just want to take a second and just paint a picture, give you some details about what a life group might actually feel like if you were to attend one of those. And so I want to first define what a life group is. And so the next fill in the blank on your handout is this. It says, a life group is a small group of people who are committed to journey together as they study the Bible and grow in their relationships with Jesus Christ. A life group is a small group of people who are committed to journey together as they study the Bible and grow in their relationships with Jesus Christ. So the first phrase I want to hone in on there is small group of people. We're talking 8 to 12 people is kind of our average size life group. We have men, we have women, we have younger people, we have older people, we have married people, we have single people. Life groups are for everybody, and we have groups that accommodate everybody here at our church, and we're excited about that, and we love this multi-generational church family that we can be a part of and all the different opportunities. And then the second piece is that we journey together as we grow in a relationship with Jesus Christ, right? We're doing this thing where as a life group, you move towards the Lord together. You do life together. Some of you, as Rob said, have felt like maybe it's hard to get plugged in. Maybe you don't feel like you have an environment where you can just like really just take that Sunday morning mask off and just feel like, you know what? I'm just going to be me tonight as I study the Bible and I talk with these people. And you feel like you can get to know them them and just kind of be who you are and be transparent and just feel comfortable with that. And really, life group is a place for that. It's for us to come and to do that and experience that intimacy together. Every time a life group meets, we take time to share prayer requests and talk and say, what's going on and how can we support you and follow up throughout the week with each other. And what's so cool is that as I see a lot of life groups that meet here at our church, they're not just it's not just a formal thing where they go to a house on a certain night of the week and they talk and then they leave and that's it. It's like becomes more than that. It becomes like a family. And so a lot of times these life group people are hanging out with each other on the weekend. They're doing life together. They're going to, you know, the art museum together. They're doing things together because it's not just a church thing. It's their people. It's their tribe, if you will. And so that's this piece about doing life and growing towards the Lord together. And the final piece that I want to mention is that this key piece, and that's studying the Bible. I think Pastor Rob said that very well. We are a Bible-believing church, and we believe that life comes in huge amounts when we study God's word and his instruction for us. And so every life group's goal is to do two things, to not only teach people what the Bible says, but also to train them how to study it, et cetera, and just to have that intellectual growth that comes from going through Bible study, but also how do we apply that to our lives? How does this intersect, and where does the life of life groups come into this? And so there's going to be personal application as well every week, so it's really practical for our groups. And so I don't know if you can tell, but we're excited about this. And we want you to get involved with a life group, and we think that that's so great. And so today, we are actually providing an opportunity for you to get into a group, like immediately is our goal. And so today, the next fill in the blank for you is that life group signups are today. They were also going to be last week. But today, after the service, in the east entrance. And so you have an opportunity today, as soon as you stand up, to head to the east entrance and go sign up for a group. Now, something happened this morning that was so great, and that is that all the people who came to first service went over and they signed up for groups. And so I'll say that we have 10 groups that are launching, and some of them are already getting very close to being filled up, and there's a large majority of groups that are in that category. And so there are still spaces available. I'd love for you to go over, maybe kind of do the fast walk over there to get a spot. But I just wanted to say, please, everybody, still go over. We have a general sign-up sheet as well on one of the tables, and so even if the groups that you're looking for in the nights of the week are filled up, you can still sign up there, and we'll be in touch with you about how to get plugged into a different group very soon as we have space to accommodate that. So that's the best problem you can have is that so many people are signing up for groups. So I just want to encourage you towards that. We have women's groups. We have definitely lots of availability there. We have mixed genders groups, men's groups, all that stuff. And then the last two things I just want to mention are some updates for our church family, just about what life group model looks like. And so there's two things that I think it's important for us to know. And one thing is going to be starting next week that's brand new to our church family. And what we're going to be doing is launching a Westgate Chapel sermon series curriculum that corresponds with the messages being preached on Sunday morning. And so what that's going to look like is that next week you're going to come here, we're going to be starting a new series going through the life of Joseph for 4 weeks. Our pastors are going to be preaching. And then during the week, your life group, and by say your life group, all of Westgate's life groups are going to be going through the same life group curriculum that we're going to be providing for our church. And so what's so exciting about that is that we as a church family can not only be hearing things on Sunday morning, but then applying and diving deeper and growing together as a whole church towards a really important topic. And we're going to be doing that a couple times a year. And so I want to invite you to be a part of that process with us and get into a group, if you're not already, to be doing that with us. And so that'll start next Sunday. And then the second piece I just want to mention is this, the way we're doing life group signups right now and the launch process is that when you sign up today or in a future, we're going to be doing 6-week starter groups. And so what this is a chance for you to go for 6 weeks, give the group a tryout, see how it is, see if you like it. Hopefully every group will be a good fit and your groups will keep on meeting ongoingly. But if it's not going so well, you guys can have the opportunity to step out and say, you know what, we tried that. And so I just want you to feel comfortable signing up for a group, giving it a shot, and hopefully it'll be a good fit and get plugged in. And so I just want to mention that to you. So if you have any questions, we'll be there in the east entrance after service today. Thank you, Pastor Rob.
Thank you for sharing with us, Mike. How exciting is that? Last week, I know that we said after Snowpocalypse that we still had like two groups that were getting ready to launch. How encouraging that we're nearing all 10. And that is an encouragement to me because one of the things that I really believe God has been doing in this church is working in our heart to really be the type of community, biblical community, that we read about in God's word. And so please, please stop by. Consider what your next step is. Go today after the service to those tables. Meet the life group leaders. Talk with them. Talk with Pastor Mike and get more information about how you can get plugged in into deeper community with others. as well, a couple last points that we want to make of ways that you can engage in authentic biblical community at Westgate Chapels. Letter B, you can volunteer with our Westgate Cares ministry. One of the incredible things that we have is this ministry that allows us to find out what the needs are of the people in our body and to mobilize people to be involved. As I've mentioned a few times already, as you walk out the doors today, you'll receive this annual report, and inside of it, as you read about it, you're going to see that I believe there are about 54 people currently serving in Westgate Cares that have joined up over this past year as we got it started. And they have given over 400 hours to helping meet the needs of people within this body. I believe it was somewhere over 50 projects and over 25 households that we were able to care for and help meet some of their needs. It is an incredible way to get involved and to truly become the type of community that God has designed for us to be. Ask yourself the question, how can I help and how can I be a part of loving people in this way? You know, Westgate Cares is always looking for more people to get involved because there are a lot of needs. They can be anything from landscaping needs to simple repair projects in homes, financial counseling. The list could go on and on. There are a lot of different ways to use your gifts and get involved. We would love for you to take a step of talking with Pastor Glenn or even his assistant, Sherry Benoit, to see how you can partner with them in meeting the needs of our church body. As well, I want to encourage you that maybe you're one of those people that goes, man, there are some things that, you know, I feel like I can't get done on my own and I need help as well. Reach out. Westgate Cares is there for you so that we can try to help our community's needs. And I would encourage you to touch base with Glenn if you are one of those people. But one last point that Glenn wanted me to emphasize this morning as well is if you are involved in a life group or going to be getting involved in a life group, Westgate Cares is an incredible way for your group to serve other people together and to show the love of Jesus in this community. And so I would encourage you, if you're involved in a life group or getting involved, make this a priority to look for ways in which you can serve the larger body of Westgate Chapel together and truly fulfill what God has called us to do in biblical community with one another. A couple other things. Letter C, you can use your gifts to serve others. And I know that Julianne Choi, she is our outreach volunteer missions director here at the church, and she would love to sit down and talk with you and her team sit down and talk with you about what gifts God has given to you and how you can put them to use here within this body of Christ. We have created that position for that purpose, and so we would love for you to ask the question. Maybe your next step is just simply saying, God, what are the gifts and passions you've given to me, and how can I use them for your glory? Because that is why you have given them. Finally, letter D, with all of these things together, I believe the biggest step we can take is this, to make the conscious choice with God to renew our understanding of biblical community and actually take a step. And I don't want you to miss either one of those points. Make the conscious choice to renew your understanding of biblical community. Church is not just where we go. It's not just what we get. But it is about being together as a body of believers, loving one another, being unified together, caring for each other. And so renew your mind and your understanding of biblical community and take the next step. The question for reflection this morning for you is very simple. What is your next step to being all in? Not halfway, not just a little bit, but all in. Giving everything you have with nothing in reserve to be in the biblical community that God has designed for you. In his church, will you take advantage of the feast that God has prepared for you? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this church body that you've given to us. I thank you, God, for every believer that is in this room that gathers together on a weekly basis to worship you, to learn from your word, to seek your Holy Spirit, and to seek to grow. And God, I pray for each individual that is in this room that you, through the power of your Holy Spirit, would place a passion and a heart to renew their understanding of what it means to be in community with each other. That, Father, they would seek greater ways in which they can be engaged with other people, developing relationships and growing together, allowing you to do the work that you desire to do only when we are in community with each other. And because of that, God, we know that the ultimate purpose that you have for your church is that when the world would look at us and the community that we have, the way that we love each other, the way in which we serve one another, the way in which we are united together, your purpose is that they would see you. And so, God, I pray that this morning, right now, that you would put in our hearts the next step that you desire for us to take. Whatever walls are there, God, maybe we've been hurt by the church or hurt by individuals in the past. Maybe we have allowed our busy lives to get in the way. We've just not prioritized what is so important to you. Father, would you break down those walls? And would you give us the courage to take a step, to be a part of the beautiful thing that you are creating here in this body? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.